Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series on this Father's Day, and we're very, very blessed to have with us once again Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So it just so happens that Mother gets all these great days. Every feast day seems to fall on Mother's scheduled appearance. So how great is that? So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We're going to be using a supplication. We're going to be using something from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. It's the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven, the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to ask Mother to unmute themselves over in Italy, and I'm going to pin the video. We're going to stop the pause here. We're going to... Wow, hello? Mother, you're on the couch by yourself.
Well, there's others, but...
They didn't leave, did they? Okay. Hi, Sister
Pamela. Glorious here.
Okay. That's wonderful. You know, Mother, hello, Sister Gloria. You know, Mother,
Sister Gemma's here. And
hi, Will. Sister Gemma. Sister Magdalena, too?
And Magdalena, yeah, they're coming.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. You know, Mother, it's not by coincidence, but I was making a statement. It's actually pretty funny. Almost all the major feast days, any really great events that are happening in the church, it falls on your scheduled time to be either on Mary's Hill or Radio Maria. I mean, just isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't plan it any better than this.
Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what, Mother? You remind us about what Jesus says in volume 16. I think it's December 26th, 1926, I'll say. I'm not sure of the year. But he tells us that those journeying in the divine will, in essence, every day is like Christmas. Well, I can say that also from a father's perspective, that really every day journeying in the divine will, every day is a Father's Day, but not for me or for my other brother fathers, but every day is a Thanksgiving to Father God the Father. And that should be every day, multiple times a day. So again, if we want to, again, it is Christmas every day because this is a gift every single moment of every single day. But that Thanksgiving to God, again, all he's asking for is he wants his paternity back. And we're probably going to talk about that today. It's not that difficult to say, thank you, Father. I love you, Father. And to do it often, Mother.
Yes, yes. It's a one we can honor our Heavenly Father today on Father's Day. He is our Father, Saint Joseph, you know, and of course all of our fathers. So you know, it's wonderful to be together again. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to be alive. I know things are crazy out in the world, but this is the greatest time to be alive because soon, hopefully soon, I think it'll be soon, the divine will reign and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph and things will change. So you know, I know things are crazy out there, but it is the best time to be alive because we have the divine will. You know, if it would have been just a years back, you know, maybe beginning of this century or last century, and after around the time of Louisa, the volumes didn't come out till the 90s. So if we would have been living earlier and be gone by now, we would have missed the divine will. So we have to be very grateful to God that we're still alive here and we have this great, great gift, which is the greatest gift. I was just reading in volume 28, October 18th, 1930, about the rounds in divine will or acts in divine will. He says, my daughter, each act done in my divine will forms a divine resurrection in the soul. Life is formed not of one act, but of many acts united together. So the more acts are done, so many times does she rise again in my will, in such a way as to be able to form a complete life, all of divine will. Since my divine will has no end, the more acts are done in it, the more its divine life grows in the creature. And while this life rises again and grows, the human will receives death from these very acts done in my divine volition. It finds no nourishments with which to nourish itself and feels itself dying at each act done in my divine will. But what sorrow! As many times as the creature does her will in her acts, so many times as she make mine die in her act. So the more acts we do in divine will, realizing the presence of God within, him doing everything in and through us, and the more we call him into every act. I know we do the prevenient act in the morning, but it's very important to do the actual acts during the day. Call him in. When you do the prevenient act in the morning, he does everything in and through you, as long as you don't sin. But you know, during the day, but if you fall into some fault or sin, you just say you're sorry and you get right back in. Mortal sin, of course, you have to go to confession before you can get back in. But, you know, we have to realize that as we more acts we do, the more our human will dies. You know, we try to practice virtue all of our lives. We beat our head against the wall. Not really, not literally, but, you know, we try to change. We try to change ourselves, and only God can change us. And he does it through us doing acts and rounds in the mind. That's the only way it happens. You know, all of the volumes, 36 volumes, talks about acts and rounds in divine will. He told Louisa he didn't want her to miss one act or one round in divine will. Sure. Of course, she was in bed for 64 years. She had a lot of time to do that. You might be real busy, so you do the prevenient act in the morning. But during the day, you continue to make these actual acts, ask God to come into each activity of the day. The more you think of him, the more you realize his presence and that he's doing these things in you, the more your human will die, and you take on the temperament of Jesus, actually, it says in the volumes. You take on his attributes, his virtues. So you're being transformed gradually. The more acts and rounds you do, that's all you have to do. And he does all the work. But because he's doing these acts and rounds in you, he does all the work. You have to call him in everything, yes, but he does all the work. You're being transformed. You're becoming more and more like him. So that's a pretty good deal. You know, we have to realize what God gives us. I mean, it's his greatest gift, because he wants us to call him in everything we do. He wants to be so much a part of our lives. He loves us so much. He desires to just relive his life in us. And we have to let him do that. Just one little thought of God, you know, makes him so happy, tickles him pink, because his love is so great for us.
You know, Mother, the more we practice those actual acts, the easier it becomes, because it almost becomes like a second nature then. I mean, yeah. I need to be reminded. It's nice if we can surround ourselves with people that can remind us, like, come divine will drive in my driving, come divine will wash my washing. And these may seem like insignificant things, but like you said, Mother, it's actually remembering God, thinking about the divine will, meditate. It's all those things that Jesus tells us forms that ardent desire, which we must possess in order to receive this gift so great. So again, it's like the cog, like that beautiful illustration. God's working. Adam was disengaged once he sinned, and Eve, of course. Now God wants to reengage this small group of souls so that he can transmit what he wants to transmit to all of mankind. Again, the acts and rounds, that's our job. It's repairing and redoing. That's what God wants us to do. That's how we're going to do it. It's the only way we can do it. And Jesus, and Louisa told us also, I think it was on her death anniversary that Jesus, she had a vision of walking on this sort of like stairway to heaven. And it's illuminated by all these suns. And she says, wow, what's all these little suns? And I think our blessed Lord said, those are all your acts done in my divine will that have formed these spiritual sons. And that is what paves or illuminates the pathway to heaven. So again, same with us. The more we do, the more God is preparing us for that beautiful walk, that final walk or flight that may be to heaven. It's beautiful. It's all here. That's what's so amazing. It's all here if we believe it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is to believe. It's not just words. You have to really believe what you're saying. And you have to desire it, really desire it in your heart. And that's why he says it's so important to read the truths that he's given to Louisa, because the more you read it, the more you understand the truths, the knowledges that he gave her, the more profound each act and round is. And one builds upon the other. He says he wants continual acts, never to stop. So once you do one act in divine will, it continues. It never ends. all around. You put an I love, Jesus puts the I love you for you on whatever you're desiring to put it on. He's doing it for you. You have the desire. He takes your desire and he puts the I love you. And that I love you shouts out for all eternity to the eternal Father. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing. So it's continual. It never ends. But you have to, it's not just words that you're saying. You have to really believe what you're saying. You have to desire it. It's all about desire, really desiring it, you know, and it's a way of living with God always. It's a way of praying always. You don't have to be sitting in church all day long. You're praying always when you live in divine will, no matter what you're doing. He's doing it in you, and you're actually adoring him at that moment as you call him into everything you do. He wants to be with you so much. He wants you to pay attention to him. He loves you so much. If he would stop thinking of you one moment, you would poof out of existence. He's thinking of you continually. He just wants you to think of him also. You know, it's reciprocal. He's thinking of us. He wants us to think of him back. He's loving us. He wants us to love him back.
Mm-hmm. He's not asking for much, Mother.
Yeah, no.
He's asking for very little.
He's doing everything. We just have to want him to do it.
It's incredible. Hello, Sister Elizabeth.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, this is what Mother said, like, continuously. And I was just thinking, every little thing that happened to us, as it says in the volumes, every little pain or suffering or joy, anything can be really an opportunity to make an act in a divine will out of it. Like, you know, if we have a back pain or anything like that, or I don't know, we are feeling sad because of, I don't know, separation from someone or something like that, we can do all this in the divine will in reparation, you know, and really always fuse ourselves in the divine will. And we were just talking about that yesterday, with the fusing, you know. We fuse ourselves in the divine will in Jesus. Mother was explaining, he in us, but we in him, because I mean, he's immense. We're entering into him. And I was just reading from volume 35, something about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That was yesterday, and I was just thinking it's beautiful. On Friday was the Sacred Heart of Jesus, then Immaculate Heart of Mary, then today is Father's Day. I mean, the Eternal Father. Also, they say some mystics said that, or now I don't remember, like the Wednesday after the Sacred Hearts is the Chaste Heart of Saint Joseph, right? And then it will be Nativity of John the Baptist. I mean, we have everyone. And so I was reading from volume 35, November 7, 1937. So about Our Lady, about Mary. Jesus is telling to Lisa, you must know that as I formed the day of the creature by manifesting many truths on my divine will to you, so the sovereign of heaven with her love, sufferings, prayers, and acts, which done in my divine will, filled heaven and earth, forming the appropriate endowment for those who will live in it, with great anxiety, longs and sighs to be able to equip her children. She sees herself immersed in many riches of grace, love, and sanctity, but she can't find her children to equip them, since they don't live in that same will in which she lived. Look, my daughter, how it is written in everything she did and suffered for my children. Therefore, if she loves, she calls her children to receive the endowment of her love in order to make us recognize them as her children and as our children too, and to love them as we love her. If she prays, she wants to give the endowment of her prayer. In sum, she wants to provide them with all her sanctity, with her pains, and with the very life of her son. How touching it is to hear her and to look at her keeping her children with her maternal heart as if inside a sacrarium. In all her acts and breaths, she calls her children and says to our Supreme Being, all that I am and possess is all for my children. Please listen to me. I feel my heart bursting for love. Have mercy on a mother who loves and wants to provide for her children to make them happy. My happiness is not full. I feel it half because I don't have my children delighting together with me. Therefore, hurry, may the divine will be known, so that they may also know the restlessness of their mother and how I want to provide for them and make them happy and holy. Do you think that we remain indifferent before this touching scene, before she who is in spasms of love, so much that with her maternal tenderness and with her rights as a mother, she prays to us and begs us? Ah, no. How many times, because of her concerns, I manifest more surprising truths on my fiat to give her free rein to pour out to her children a more extensive provision, since she will be allowed to do it only in accordance with their knowledge. So, in accordance with their knowledge. Therefore, you two enter my divine will, and together with this celestial mother, pray and supplicate that our will may be known and reign in all the creatures. And then, I mean, it's this passage is really amazing. And then also there's another one in the same volume that talks about, I mean, how Our Lady, her greatest wish is to give to all her children, to all of us, what God gave to her. And the Most Holy Trinity loves her so much that they will give her to make a new hierarchy, like in her inheritance, like there are now the nine choirs of angels in heaven. That's how she will make the nine choirs of those who live in the kingdom of divine will according to their knowledges. And yeah, it's like it's amazing and exciting how the children of the divine will be as a communion of saints, like really so much connected. And there will be, it says in that passage, all around Our Lady. And it struck me how much like she's just yearning to for God to be requited in this love, because how many times Jesus is telling to Lisa that the greatest suffering is not to be reciprocated in love. And the only way that God can be reciprocated is in his divine will, with his own divine love.
Amen. You know, also, you know, you mentioned about Our Lady, and Our Lady speaks to children often, and Our Lord spoke to children also. And I can't help but remember that small little two lines from volume 35, January 10th, 1938, when Jesus explaining when he was in Egypt as a small child, he says, quote, "My daughter, this sermon of mine that I gave as a little child, I gave to the children of Egypt, and it was the foundation, the substance of the creation of man. It contains the most necessary doctrine, the highest sanctity. It makes love arise in each instant," end quote. So again, did we know that? That's another example of that explication, that Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism. We knew about he gave a talk to the children. Did we know the magnitude of it? Did we know that? No, we didn't. So it's not new. It always was there. For 2,000 years, but now we're getting a greater understanding through the words of a mystic, the greatest of all mystics, Louisa, again, 67. She's not adding to it. She's not completing it, but she's giving us, she's allowing us to better understand what had happened in a certain period of time, which is now. It's all here. Our Catholic Church is perfectly poised to receive this gift. Amen.
It's true.
Hello, Sister Magna.
Hello, everybody. Mabuti po. Happy Father's Day to all, to you, Peter.
Salamat po.
Wala ka naman. Anyway, yeah, you know, you talk about the trip to Egypt and all the history of Jesus. And again, you know, when we really think about world history, everything that's going on from the time of our great father Adam and our mother Eve, all the way to our time. This is really about history of God, because everything that he created is about his love and love for us.
particularly human beings. So it's his story and it's our story, because if we hadn't only fallen away from sin, from God, if our great father Adam did not disobey, we would still be in union with the divine will. And so therefore it would be truly be our story also. And there will be no suffering, but because of our separation through sin, then it doesn't feel like it's our story. It feels like it's God's story, or the other way around, or we remove God from the story and it becomes our story, and then we're bitter about it. So today I was meditating about Father's Day. You know, I was thinking about the Eternal Father and my father and all the fathers out there. And the Lord inspired me to read volume 4, November 10, 1900. And my meditation with this passage is a short one, but it's really profound, I think, because it shows that if we really have a personal relationship with the Father, a true relationship with the Father, we have to have love and trust. And we cannot just say love God, and we cannot really say I love you, Father, without trusting Him. It would be a contradiction. So this is a short passage, and I'll read it to you. And so this is Louisa. As he continued not to come, I felt immersed in the great bitterness. My soul was tortured 1,000 ways. Then I felt as though a shadow near me, and I heard a voice of my adorable Jesus, though I could not see him, saying to me, the most perfect love is in the true trust that one must have in the loved object. And even if it should appear that the object one loves is lost, then more than ever is the time to prove this living trust. This is the easiest means to take the possession of that which one ardently loves. Having said this, both shadow and voice disappeared. Who can say the pain I feel for not having seen my beloved good? So this is Jesus, Louisa lamenting. You know, she suffers greatly when she doesn't feel Jesus, or when she doesn't see Jesus herself. But Jesus saying that, really, if you love me, Louisa, you must also have this trust. Because, you know, it's a contradicting, you know, how can I tell my beloved I love you and yet don't trust you? Then there is a brokenness in there. So the two has to go together. And since we already talked in the past and we continue to meditate on the word love, it's more than just emotions, more than just feelings, you know, it also requires action. And therefore, when we say trust, it's not just a thought or a theory or a belief. Okay, Father, I trust you. But it also requires our action. Now, I meditated on action. There are two kinds of action. There's passive and active. Now, I asked myself during meditation, Lord, what are you asking me? Are you expecting me to be passive? Because if you're doing these things in me, I don't really have to do anything. Then I'm passive, right? And then the Lord says, no, it's actually both. You know, you are both passive and active. So it both active or passive, it requires action. It requires my decision. And why do I say that? Because of the great gift of the human will. That's why God gave us the great gift of human will, so that we can continuously, Mother talked about continuous acts and rounds. This is the continuous decision, continuous use of our human will to choose what is good, to choose God, which is the best of all choices we can ever make in our life. There's no better choice than choosing God. There's no better choice than choosing the divine will, so that we can, when God gave us the human will, it is for that reason. So God did tell me in my meditation, yes, in a way, you don't have to do anything. Because if you allow me to act in you, to walk in you, to drive in you, to do all these human acts in you, then you don't really, you're not doing it on your own, but you're doing that in me, through me, with me, altogether. So you're not on your own in that action. But at the same time, it is passive. Why is it passive? Because I no longer live with my human will. I died to my human will in order for the divine will to live in me. So in a way, I'm dead. I'm in a way, in that way, I'm passive. So it's both. We cannot really say, oh no, you don't have to do anything, or you know, it's actually both. And we mentioned about, you know, using words. I have to admit, I am not able to really say in words, you know, sew in my sewing, cook in my cooking, because of course I have to think what ingredients to put. I have to think the sequence of doing these things, you know, driving, I have to think where I'm going, you know, I have to read signs and all that. So I can't really say, Lord, look in my looking, read in my reading, you know, I can't do that. It's just impossible. So in this relationship, I also meditate on that. When I am with my family, when I'm with my sisters, I am, of course, in relationship with them. I don't always tell mother, I love you, mother, or I love you, sister, I love you, daddy. I don't have to constantly say, I love you, mom, I love you, mom, I love you. I have to really just do that through my action, through my devotion, through my obedience, through my gentleness. Anything good that I do out of love, that is already an act of love. So don't worry if I don't worry for myself if I go and I don't say, oh, I love you all the time. Just look at the stars and I said, Lord, how much you love me through the sun and how beautiful this is. That in itself is loving God. That in itself is I saying, I love you, God, how beautiful it is that your creation and you're doing this for me, for my brothers, for everybody else. So sometimes we can even express our love more deeply if we don't use human words. Through a loving gaze, through a loving sigh, you know. So sometimes even lovers, you know, I've heard these stories, you know, lovers, they just look at each other and they understood what they were talking to each other. And a while ago, we were washing dishes and we were, you know, talking, playing around with our dialects, our languages, the Korean, Filipino, and we were like trying to guess what we were saying in our languages. And then come to my mind, I thought, I wonder if when we all get to heaven, would we be able to, you know, would still be talk to our languages? Are we talking to God? And then one of the sisters said, no, because in heaven, we will have an infusion of thoughts that words are no longer necessary because we are now in union with God. And so we would have all these minds and we would be able to understand each other through mind. And then it reminded me of the Which Awaits Us, that book, you know. So it's a beautiful way to live our life, is to live in the divine will. And Sister Elizabeth mentioned about, you know, when we live in the divine will, we can offer all of our all that we are, our suffering, our pain, our confusion, even our faults, even our weaknesses, you know, we get confused. We don't really get hung up on that. We can just let go of it, offer it to Jesus, because Jesus in his humanity suffered all of these human thoughts that we suffer, except sin. You know, he didn't sin, but he also suffered pain. He also suffered tiredness. He also suffered hunger. He also suffered, you know, maybe he was confused. You know, maybe Jesus suffered all that we did and he repaired all through all of these. And so when we start feeling this way, whether it's joy or sadness or whatever feeling, as a human being, we can lift it up to Jesus in his humanity and he can transform that into divine, because he is also divine. So because he is human, we have to be fully human. And by surrendering it to Jesus, because he is divine, he can make all of our human experiences become divine. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Yeah, you put that into perspective very well. And you know, I go back to in the beginning of the program when Mother was talking about, you know, what we do and why we do everything for love. And again, God only wants our affection. He wants it, or again, this is the reciprocal of love. In fact, he says it in volume 35, January 10th, 1938. He says, quote, "Now, my dear children, do you know what this celestial father wants from you? He wants to be recognized in you as having his dwelling in the center of your soul. And since he gave you everything, nor is there anything he does not give you, he wants your love in everything you do," end quote. So again, the more we know, and again, this goes back to that reading and listening and studying, the more we know what our Father in heaven wants, the more likely we are to deliver to him what he wants. Again, he's not going to make it impossible because he says, I had to make this easy and accessible to everyone in all circumstances and all situations, unless they didn't want it. So it had to be easy. But again, it doesn't have to be everything to be shown. Like, for example, Jesus told Louisa, you look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. You know, preach always and sometimes use words. So everything does make sense. And thank you for bringing that point out. It's not always what we're doing here, not the bola bola. It's really what's God is bringing the divine will interiorly to us. And he wants us to express this love also interiorly. Because you know what? It's almost like an underground pipeline. Nobody can snatch it from the surface. It's all hidden. It's all protected. And that's where we are. Right, Sister Gloria?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Today I was reading volume 14, October 6, 1922, and it explains how the divine will is the first plane of where the human acts can be changed into divine acts. So Louisa, she was asking Jesus, how is it possible, you know, that after so many centuries and there were so many saints who performed so many miracles and who reached, you know, high virtues, you know, how come, you know, it was not, they did not like fully operate in the divine will, you know, how come only now you are, you know, revealing me about the divine will? And this is what Jesus answered to her. Listen, my daughter, my wisdom has means and ways which man ignores, such that she is obliged to lower his forehead and adore it in mute silence. And it is not up to him to dictate to me the laws, whom I should choose and the appropriate time, which my goodness disposes. Besides, first I had to form the saints who were to resemble me and copy my humanity in a more perfect way, as much as is possible for them. And this I have already done. Now my goodness wants to go beyond and wants to give in to greater excess of love. And therefore I want them to enter into my humanity and copy what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. If the first cooperated with my redemption in order to save souls, to teach the law, to banish sin, being limited within the centuries in which they lived, the second will go beyond, copying what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. They will embrace all centuries, all creatures, and rising above all, will put in force the rights of creation, which are due to me, and which concern all creatures, bringing all things to the first origin of creation and to the purpose for which creation was delivered. Everything is ordered in me. If I issue the creation, it must return to me ordered, just as it came out of my hands. The first plane of the human acts changed into divine in my will was done me. I left it as though suspended, and the creature, except for my dear and inseparable mama, knew nothing. This was necessary. If man did not know the way, the door, the rooms of my humanity, how could he enter inside of me and copy what I did? Now the time has come for the creature to enter into this plane and also do something of her own within mine. What is the wonder if I have called you as the first one? So when I first read it, you know, I also remember, you know, this is the time for the third renewal. You know, the first 22,000 years, it was purified by the flood. And then the second 2,000 year, it was when Jesus came to the earth and he revealed his humanity. And then, and after Jesus died for another 2,000 years, you know, all the saints and people, good people, they lived from the fruits of Jesus' humanity. And he also, revealed what his humanity did and what he went through, what's sufferings, what passion he went through. And now he wants to complete this third renewal by revealing the divine will. You know, now he wants to show us, teach us what his divinity did in his humanity. And this is really the time has come, and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as to fulfill the Our Father prayer. And that is why, you know, Jesus had to raise, you know, those saints in the past that completely imitated Jesus to reach up to his humanity. But now he's calling us to, in order to, he's calling us to enter into his humanity and do, to follow him, what he did, what the soul of his humanity did in the divine will. So really the divine will is the plane where the human acts becomes the divine acts. And So the divine will is where we can truly be transformed into Jesus, and where we can truly live in the presence of God. And it is really the time, because so far they were able to only unite to those two wills, the human wills and God's will, and only they knew how to abandon, you know, self. But now Jesus is teaching us how the divine will can operate in the creature, and how creature can operate in the divine will. So it is why it's very important to know the knowledge of the divine will, because the more we know about the divine will, the knowledge, the more knowledge we have, the more valuable it is our acts. And it's not only the reading, we can get the knowledge not only by the reading the books of heaven, but also by practicing, like acts and round, as Mother always says, acts like calling in Jesus in everything we do. Because living in the divine will means we are not living alone. We are living with God all the time, every moment. And this is when we always would try to give in, conform our will to the divine will. And when we do the rounds, we are not just placing our love use in the works of redemption or the creation, but first we have to recognize the love that God placed in everything for us. And when we truly stay in his love and recognize how much he loves us, that's when, after we receive, we give it back to him. We give back his love to him, you know, this complete love that he stores in everything. You know, also when we know one more truth, and then if the soul goes to the heaven, that soul, you know, because since, you know, he's got the seed in the soul, which pours out new satisfaction, new happiness, and new beauty, you know, in the heaven. And then the soul becomes the source and the spring of everything. And then the other souls who didn't like possess, or he didn't know the divine will, they're just going to be participating your happiness. So you become the son of the divine will. So in order to become really, for the divine will to become our nature, to really, in order to possess the divine will, this is what Jesus wants. So we got to want what Jesus wants. And truly with our desire, with our intention that we want to do what he wants, and that we want to live in the divine will. And then Jesus, he realizes our intention. So always try to do the acts and round, and remember that we are not alone. We are not doing by our will, but we're living by the divine will. And try to read the divine will writings every day. And it really helps you to really realize how important it is, what an important time we're living in. Thank you.
It's true. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us also on what this gift is. You know, the divine will is the reciprocal of love. And Mother has mentioned that often also, in addition to the acts and rounds. Thanks, God. Thank God for that. And, you know, but thinking about that, okay, so if the divine will is the reciprocal of love, it would make sense then that we would gravitate to where we would receive the most love, so that we're able to return the most love. And again, that goes back to that same passage I read a few moments ago, volume 35, January 10th, 1938. Again, our blessed Lord speaking, no one can arrive at loving you as the Father loves you. This is so true that while you always have a terrestrial father, yet how different from the love of the celestial father. He does not always follow you, does not watch over your steps. This is the terrestrial. Does not know everything about what you're doing. On the other hand, the celestial father never leaves you. If you are about to fall, he gives you his hand as to not let you fall. If you sleep, he watches over you. I mean, if you play and do some impertinences, he is with you and knows everything you do. Therefore, love him very, very much. So again, end quote. So again, reciprocal of love, we gravitate toward the father who loves us the most, and we return our father's love, our celestial father's love, to him. that reciprocal of love, in essence, defines the divine will. And mothers explained that to us. Sister, you reminded us of that. And thank you so much for that.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Pamela.
Hello. I want to read from volume 13, August 25th, 1921. The more knowledge one has about the divine will, the more value his acts acquire. I was fusing all of myself in the holy divine volition, and my Jesus told me, daughter of my will, the more you immerse yourself in my volition, the more the circle of your will expands within mine. It is yet true that the acts done in my will fill everything, just as the light of the sun fills the earth. However, by repeating the acts in my will, the circumference of the sun itself expands, and the soul acquires greater intensity of light and of heat. And as she repeats her acts in my will remains knotted to mine as many times. And these knots make many divine rivulets flow over the whole earth, which prevent the free course of justice. Then he added, every time I speak to you about my will and you acquire new cognitions and knowledges, your act in my will has more value and you acquire more immense riches. It happens as to a man who possesses a gem and knows that this gem has the value of a penny. He is rich one penny. Now it happens that he shows his gem to a competent expert who tells him that his gem has a value of 5,000 lira. That man no longer possesses one penny, but he is rich 5,000 lira. Now, after some time, he has the opportunity to show his gem to another expert, even more competent. And this one assures him that his gem contains a value of 100,000 and is ready to buy it if he wants to sell it. Now, that man is rich 100,000. According to his knowledge of the value of his gem, he becomes richer and feels greater love and appreciation for the gem. He keeps it in custody more jealously, knowing that it is all his fortune, while before he held it as a trifle. Yet the gem has not changed as it was, so it is. He is the one who went through the change by understanding the value that the gem contains. According to how the soul understands their value and acquires knowledge of them. Sorry, I skipped this part. Now, the same happens with my will as well as with the virtues. According to how the soul understands their value and acquires knowledge of them, she comes to acquire new values and new riches in her acts. So the more you get to know about my will, the more your act will acquire its value. Oh, if you knew what seas of graces I open between you and me, every time I speak to you about the effects of my will, you will die of joy and will make feast as if you had acquired new kingdoms to dominate. Just wow, no words. It's, you know, God is just so wonderful. And I think it was 2 days ago, I was working with Sister Madalena in the sewing room. And I was trying to make an apron and I couldn't figure it out how to make the measurements and how to cut it. So I asked for her help. And she was like, you know, imagining in her mind, like how to cut it, how to put it together. And then she said something so wise that I was like, I started to meditate on them afterwards. Like, yeah, this is actually truth. She said, you know, we are not capable of thinking by ourselves. Like, me, myself, I'm not capable of doing this. I'm getting infused knowledge from God telling me how to cut the fabric, how to fold it, how to trace. And I was thinking also in divine will, the only one who's going to infuse knowledge in you is God. People can tell you, like, okay, they can teach you, like, well, they can read the passages of how we are doing it right now. But the one who is a teacher of teachers is God. It's like if somebody like, I don't know, Sister Gloria, she has never eaten an apple. I'm not going to be able to tell her how the apple tastes because she's never tasted before. I can tell her the texture of the apple, the color of the apple, the shape and whatever. But until she tastes the apple, she's going to be able to tell me the flavor of it. And that's how the vine will work in each one of us. I can read to you this passage, but only God is going to infuse in you the real meaning of it. And to be able to live in the divine will, we need to chew onto the food that he's always giving to us. After we chew on it, we swallow it. And then since he's the divine son who's living in us, all the rays of the sun penetrate in our souls, in our powers, the potency of our will, our intelligence, and our, what is it? Intelligence, will, and I forgot the other one. Memory, which is the Holy Trinity dwelling in us. And the more you acknowledge God presence, how Sister Gloria was saying about the acknowledging the love, now you become our love and you give God to God. And it is a constant, you know, round, giving God to God, bringing it down, giving to all creatures, past, present, and future. And it's just a wonderful thing that I cannot even explain. And I just feel so, so happy and thankful that I'm living right now in this generation. It's like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't have any words to say to you, but I just want to give you in me or your divine attributes or your love. And honestly, the book of heaven is just a precious gift that Luisa brought us by her fiat, as well as how Our Lady brought the word incarnate in her. Now we are becoming those wombs that we can contain this immensity of God, and he's always going to do it in us. And we also were talking up some days ago about the living host. We don't necessarily need to wait until the chastisements. You can be a living host right now in this present moment. Living in divine will is the present moment, because present moment means eternity. There's no yesterday, there's no tomorrow. It's the eternity of God, the same moment that you do all your acts and all your rounds. And by growing in divine will, you need to always be in accordance with God, like acknowledging. Another example will be growing in divine will is knowing the effects and the positive consequences of your acts and your rounds. Like before, people will only pray the Our Father, but now it has given to us the real meaning of the that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is to complete that fiat that Luisa said, and fiat voluntas tua, but now it's bringing the kingdom on earth on us, and is the earth of our souls, is the earth of inside of us. And then it's going to spread out to every human being around us, and not even this present moment, but past, present, and future. And I can just imagine how the angels and the saints in heaven are rejoicing of seeing us living in divine will. So for me, this gift is everything. I wouldn't change it for anything. It's just the complete, my soul feels like fulfilled. Like I cannot see, I love the saints, of course, but you know, I just couldn't change it for anything at all. And I really encourage you to really acknowledge the love of God and really think about when you are doing around, that you are traveling around with God in every single moment since Adam unto the last man on earth that is going to live here. I don't have anything else to say. I just got so excited, but really, really embrace this beautiful gift, because he just wants to reign in your soul, on the earth of your soul, and he wants to grow within you.
Amen. Thank you. And you know, Sister Pamela has a wonderful sense of humor too. I don't know if anyone caught it, but when she was recalling the three properties of the soul, she could not recall. What could not she recall? Memory.
So, I didn't do it on purpose.
I think you did that by design, but you do. You have a wonderful sense of humor. But you're right. And you know, one thing that we haven't spoken about today thus far, we're about, you know, a little bit past the halfway mark. Maybe one of your sisters have it in store later. But we haven't spoken anything about the Our Father prayer. I mean, the fact that for 2,000 years this prayer has been conditioning disposing souls to receive it, to recognize it. And then now he, again, through this small group, he's explained, he's given the fulfillment, the explanation, the conclusion, the definition of the Our Father prayer in our lifetime. That is astonishing, especially when you consider it's the only prayer he gave his disciples, the only prayer. Right, Sister Gemma?
Hello. Hello, Peter. Hi, everyone. Today I was reading day 27 of the Book of the Virgin Mary, and I would like to share it with you because he was talking about the fiat that the Virgin Mary gave, I was meditating on it because he would say that when we have to say our fiat, it's not only our fiat that we say, but it's always together with the fiat of Jesus too. So it goes together. And now I won't read it all. Just jump from place to places, but I start from here that I say, "Ah, dear child, the divine fiat gave him to me. The divine fiat gave him to me, and in the divine fiat I received him, and now in that same fiat I give him back." Then on another part he says, "My divine fiat and yours made me be conceived, and my and your divine fiat must let me die. Harry, oh dear mama, pronounce your fiat and tell me, I bless you and I give you the obedience to die crucified." And when I was reading this, I was thinking, wow, this is so beautiful, because sometimes we think that when we have something, when Jesus asks us a fiat, it depends only on us. Like we have to say our fiat, but it's not what I understood here. It's like, it's usually first the Father who give the fiat for us to give the fiat, then it's Jesus, and then it's us. And then if we say that fiat, then all this fiat work together, and then the miracle happen. I found it so beautiful, and I never thought it this way, that it's usually our fiat, but together with the fiat of Jesus. And then I'll go back up. It say, "If the divine fiat had not sustained me and continued its course with infinite seas of light, of joy, of happiness along the side, the seas of my bitter pains, I would have died as many times for as many the pains my dear son suffered." And to me, what I understood is that usually when Jesus asks our fiat, it's not only he also give us the other side of the fiat. Yes, sometimes the fiat can be painful, but also he doesn't just give the cross and say, okay, you just give me fiat and that's it. No, he will give us all the everything that we need. So that could be infinite size of light, it say here, joy, happiness. And I was thinking, it's like when someone is sick and you need an IV. Yes, the IV could be painful. The needle is painful at the beginning, but then if you say your fiat, okay, I have to take this IV, then you take all the nutrition that comes in the IV, and that could be all the nutrition that you need. And when we say our fiat, maybe at the beginning it's a bit uncomfortable, but then you get all the grace that you need. And that could be happiness, could be joy, could be patience, could be light, could be any kind of grace that we need. And of course, maybe sometimes it's also followed with a little bit of pain, of discomfort, but that's part of the fiat that we give. And also it's important to think how all the fiat that the Virgin Mary gave every day, every moment of her life, because if everything exists, Jesus is, it's in our life nowadays, it's because of the fiat of the Virgin Mary, the continuous fiat of the Virgin Mary. And she gave that fiat with joy, with not complaining. I've never read in the Bible that she was ever complaining or say, oh, why me, why me? But she was always say fiat. And the same Jesus, how many times he say fiat? Every time he's suffering a pain, every time he's during the passion, he's taking the cross, every time he's been nailed and all the pains that he suffered, that's a fiat that he say he gave for us, for all of us. So when it's hard for us to say fiat, we can ask the Virgin Mary to give us the strength to say that fiat. And maybe we can also unite it with the fiat that she and Jesus already gave for us. And then on the last part, it say, now listen to me in my intense pain. With the pains of my son, I want to speak to you of the great evils of your human will. Look at him, it means Jesus, in my sorrowful arms, how disfigured he is. He is the true portrait of the evil, the evil the human will does to the poor creatures. My dear son wanted to suffer so many pains in order to raise this will again fallen into the abyss of all miseries. Each pain of Jesus and each one of my sorrows called it to rise again in the divine will. Today during the adoration, after I read this passage this morning, I was looking at the cross, and I was and even when I was saying the rosary, I was trying to meditate all the pains that Jesus suffered. All I was trying to imagine Jesus in the arms of the Virgin Mary and think of my sins, like Jesus is there because of my sins. And I was thinking, oh, maybe the thorn that is he's having is on his head is because of my sin, and we can all think the same, because Jesus, all the pains that he suffer, it's because of our sins. But the most beautiful, it's that all the sins and the pains that he went through during the passion, he's doing that to redeem us, to to bring us up of all our miseries. So that's I found it very, very beautiful. Okay. Who is next?
Yeah, you know, we all, to your point, we all contributed to that pain, to those thorns in the crown. It was almost like I remember there was a silly analogy. When I was growing up as a young boy, there was this game. I think it was called, Mother, I don't know if you remember it, but it was called Camel's Back. And basically, you had this two-piece camel put together, and you go around the table and you put in these like toothpicks, something of that. And what I'm remembering. And then you get so many toothpicks there, and then the person who put the last toothpick that would make the camel's back break, and then he or she would be out of the game. But if you think about it, it's all those other toothpicks that were there that enabled that last toothpick to break the camel's back. It's the same when we talk about our sin. You know, another thing too, Mother, Jesus talks about the three breads, and anyone who'd like to, I'm not going to read anything from it. I don't even have the volume number. I just have some scratchy notes here, but I have May 2nd, 1923, and Jesus talks about the three types of bread that he gives us. And of course, the reason why he gave us the divine will is, of course, the efficacy of the grace and graces, especially that are contained in the Eucharist. We're being diminished, and we're not giving us, again, the nutrients that we needed, the spiritual nutrients we needed, and thus the divine will must be the perfected Eucharist on a continuous basis. And that's a great reading too. But again, that's one of those things, Mother, that we don't want to, if we're introducing the divine will to somebody brand new, we don't want to probably tell them, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. That's probably not what you want to say right out of the box, if you don't want them to run away from you. Sister, Mother, Sister.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was just, I get so excited just listening with a common theme of fatherhood, you know, because we talk about all this love and virtues, you know, I keep thinking about
the fatherhood, our eternal father. He is the father of all fathers. But there's another father, the father of all lies. And we don't want to go there, you know, the enemy. But we are, divine will is about the father. It's about this fatherhood in relationship to his son. And then, of course, you know, it's a community. We talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I go back to my meditation that I shared earlier, you know, I talk about trust and love. But then my mind was really focused more on this part because it took me a while to think about this. And this part says, Jesus told Louisa, the most perfect love is in the true trust that one must have in the loved object. And even if it should appear that the object one loves is lost, then more than ever is the time to prove this living trust. And I meditated, how often have I succumbed to fear or to anxiety in my past and probably even to the present, even up to the present? Because when I don't feel God, when I don't see God, when I feel spiritual dryness, when I don't feel him close to me, then I start to panic. But then this is a matter of faith. You know, we can love, trust, but we also have faith. Belief, our faith, and faith is not about, it's all in the mind. You know, it's all in our concept. It's not that. Faith is also active. It's also an act. It's an act of faith. Abraham was justified with this act of faith of leaving his own home country to go as God tells him to go. And, you know, I'm thinking about the eternal father. You know, we love him, we trust him, and we have faith that he is there for our own good. He's always there to love us no matter what. And father is a masculine word. We think of men. But then we have to remember also that the eternal father is not limited to the masculinity that we know here on an earthly way of thinking. He's beyond that. He is. There were several passages here that I've read Peter in one of those passages about fatherhood, several passages. But I could see a common thread in that he has the mother attributes because he's a nurturer. He nourishes. He is a caregiver. He caresses us through his love. But at the same time, he's also a masculine. You know, he has attributes for both masculinity and femininity as we understand it with our limited mind here on earth. That's why we have this gender confusion now, because people do not understand the fatherhood. They do not understand what it means to have an eternal father. And they think very little about it, to the point where they just sort of kind of like get it all mixed in. But really what they're looking for, all these confused people about their gender, what they're looking for is the eternal father. That's really what there is missing in that way of thinking. If we think of eternal father, it will take us probably a long time if we meditate on just the prayer, our father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just go through the whole prayer and each word, each phrase, sit and spend a moment and continuously converse with God, not just thinking, okay, I'm thinking, I'm analyzing. No, I'm actually going to get God involved in this. Okay, Lord, teach me to understand this prayer. Okay, our Father, Lord, what are you telling me when I say our Father? It's not my Father, but our Father. What is it telling? Just the word our. You know, Father, Lord, what are you telling me with this? Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I bet you we can probably come up with so many knowledges and so many wisdom just by meditating on the prayer, our Father. It happened that when I was traveling, one of my travels, I met a priest, I won't mention a name, and he said, what is this thing you're doing about divine will? What is this divine will thing you're doing? You know, and because he asked me what community I belong and all that. And I said, well, you know, I explained to him and I said, you know, the fiat is about the thy will be done. And he said, no, that's not what's important in the Our Father. And I said, Father, and he's a priest, what is the most important? He said, the most important in the prayer, our Father, is that he said, give us this day our daily bread. And I said, you know, that is important. Every word in the Our Father is very important, but it has to come up with the thy will be done, because then acknowledging the Father's will. And I even shared with him and I said, you know, the Lord, the word became incarnated in our Blessed Mother's womb is through her fiat. And Jesus was able to do his passion because of his fiat. So without the fiat, nothing could be done. I mean, everything in the Our Father is very important. But I think the crux of all of this is thy will be done. And whose is this thy that we're talking about? It is the Eternal Father. So without this crux, you know, it can be very confusing.
Give us thy bread. You know, if he meant the first bread, the divine will, then he would be right. That we need the divine will every day. It's that perennial communion. But I tend to think that's probably not what he meant.
Yeah.
Just a speculation. I hate to speculate, Sister Elizabeth, but I have to do it sometimes.
Yeah, I was just reading that you mentioned before, Peter, about the sermon in Egypt. So it's in volume 35, January 10, 1937. So Jesus was about 3 years old, giving a sermon to this little children.
The four-year-olds.
Yeah, it says here, now you must know that my exile in Egypt was not without conquest. When I was about 3 years old, from our little hovel, I could hear the children playing and shouting in the street. And as little as I was, I went out in their midst. As soon as they saw me, they ran around me, competing with themselves for who could get the closest to me, because my beauty, the enchantment of my gaze, and the sweetness of my voice were such that they felt enraptured for love of me. So they would throng around me, loving me so much that they could not detach themselves from me. I too loved these children. So I gave my first little sermon to these little ones, adapting myself to their tiny capacity. Since when love is true, it not only tries to make itself known, but also to give all that may render one happy in time and eternity. More so since, possessing innocence, they could easily understand me. And would you like to know what my sermon was about? I said to them, my children, listen to me. I love you very much, and I want to make you know about your origin. Look up at heaven. Up there you have a celestial father who loves you very much, and who was not satisfied to be your father only from heaven, to guide you, to create for you a sun, a sea, a flowery earth to make you happy. But loving you with exuberant love, he wanted to descend inside your hearts, to form his royal residence in the depth of your souls, making himself sweet prisoner of each one of you. I'm imagining three-year-old children saying this to the 4 years old. I mean, it's so deep. But to do what? To give life to your heartbeat, breath, and motion. So as you walk, he walks in your steps. He moves in your little hands. He speaks in your voice. And because he loves you very much as you walk or move, now he kisses you. Now he squeezes you. Now he hugs you and carries you triumphantly as his own dear children. How many hidden kisses and hugs our celestial father does not give you. But since being inattentive, you didn't let your kiss meet his kiss and your hugs meet his paternal embrace, he remained with the pain that his children neither hugged him nor kissed him. My dear children, do you know what this celestial father wants from you? As you said before, Peter, and then later Sister Pamela was telling it so beautifully. He wants to be recognized within you as having his own place in the center of your souls. And since he gives you everything, there is nothing he does not give to you. He wants your love in everything you do. So in continuous acts, love him. Let love be always in your little hearts, your lips, your works, in everything. And this will be the delicious food that you will give to his paternity. So you know how little children, you know, I mean, even when they're not little, even the adults, you know, like you're saying to the beloved, oh, how much you love me, you know, and to the skies and back, like to the stars and back. So it's with this kind of, you know, imagination and external things, you know, even little children can kind of tell how much like a lot they love God. So and Jesus, I'm sure he was explaining this to them. At their level, how they could understand him. And as Sister Pamela was saying before, Jesus is always, he's the master, the one who teaches you. And by reading this, you know, it's like a, the Book of Heaven is like the manual, how to love God the way he wants. And like for each one, he speaks exactly that, what he wants us to hear. And I was just thinking, you know, the acts and rounds in the creation, in the redemption, in sanctification, it's like a race of love, you know. Sometimes when I'm in the adoration well, I think by the grace of God, you know, God inflames, you know, my heart with love. But, you know, even though it's I don't see Jesus as a person in front of me, if I would see him, I would kind of run to him and, you know, throw myself in his arms and all, like you do with a human person. But since he is God and he's inside of us, you can see him with the spiritual eyes, and kind of to reciprocate him in love, you kind of do this races conquest, and you know, you want to give him everything as a gift. And that's how kind of this acts and rounds, they come out spontaneously, naturally, you know, like okay, I read that you know, God loves, Jesus loves when we repeat in the divine will as a round the creation of Adam, or you know, the acts of Our Lady. So like well, it's not only when we feel that we want to love him, but also when we don't feel it. But yeah, well, I guess for me it's easier when he kind of inflames my heart, you know, to, he really helps me, and he's helping each one of us, you know, to do this spontaneous acts and rounds.
Thank you. So, you know, we talked about the reciprocal of love. And again, from that same volume, volume 35, January 10th, 1938, great example. No one can arrive at loving you as he loves you. That was the one I wanted. It says, let love never depart from your little hearts, from your lips, from your works, from everything. And this shall be the delicious food you shall give to his paternity. So again, God gives us this gracious love. We take it, we put it in all our acts, and we give it back to his paternity, the reciprocal of love. Really, that's all it is, Mother. Can it be that simple?
It's all, yeah,
so
love.
Confusing.
It's a round of love. He loves us. He just wants us to love him back. And doing acts and rounds in divine will is a way of loving him back all day long, realizing his presence, talking to him in everything you do, not just, you know, acts and rounds, but asking, what do you want me to do? To do it. Can't live in his will unless you do his will. So, you know, do we ask him during the day, do you want me to do this or do you want me to do that? You know, we have a habit of snacking maybe lots during the day. Does God want you to snack? To ask him, you know, what do you want? There's this Greg Dunn up in Ireland, and the sisters were saying yesterday he was eating something, I think, and he was snacking.
No, he said that when
okay, Greg shared with us a story of his own experience that, you know, he was trying to eat something, and then he said, okay, Lord, eat in my eating. And then Jesus told him, what? Are you going to feed me that, or are you going to let me eat that? So he said, apparently he realized that it wasn't a good choice what he was doing.
So God's doing everything in and through us. So even when you know, that's why you can't sin in you. So you have to do his will if you want to live in his will. So you need to ask him throughout the day in different situations, what does God want me to do in this situation? And if you really believe in your heart, what he wants you to do, you do it. Well, then whether it's right or wrong, if you really believe it, that's the right thing to do, because he sees your heart. He knows what you're thinking. I was just reading again in volume 28, October 18th, 1930. It says, Louisa was saying, I continued my acts in the divine volition with my usual refrain. I love you and everything you have done for love of us. But while I was doing this, I thought to myself, blessed Jesus must be tired of my sing song. I love you. I love you. I love Louisa, the way she's so honest. She speaks to him like a dear friend. She can tell him whatever she wants. So why say it? And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me,
My daughter, true love, accompanied also by the words, I love you, never brings me tiredness, because I, being a complex of love and a continuous act of love, as I never cease to love, when I find my love in the creature, I find myself, and the sign that her love is a birth from my love, it is when it is continuous. All continuous acts are those which have the virtue of preserving, nourishing, and growing the life of creatures. A continuous act can be called perennial miracle, though creatures do not pay attention to it. But your Jesus cannot do without paying attention, because I know the prodigious virtue of an act never interrupted. Therefore, your I love you serves to preserve, nourish, and grow the life of my love in you. If you do not nourish it, it cannot grow, nor receive the multiplicity of the sweetnesses and the variety of the divine colors which my love contains. He tells Louisa, too, in other places, that it's only continuous acts. You have to do continuous acts, not just one act. He says, to live in the divine will, it must continue on and on and on. Therefore, do not fear, because fear renders unhappy the good that one possesses and embitters the purest, the holiest, and the divine joys that exist in my fiat. More so, each act done in my will forms the nourishment in order to nourish the past acts done in it. So we don't only, when we do an act, we're nourishing the acts we did in the past. In fact, many acts united together have formed its life in the soul, and life cannot be preserved and grow without nourishment. Therefore, one act serves to preserve another and to form the life of my will in the creature. Repeated acts form the water with which to water it, the air to give continuous breathing to this life, all of heaven, the heartbeat to make it feel the continuous heartbeat of my will, the food to preserve it alive. It says, one who wants to form within herself the life of my volition has need of repeated acts in such a way that nothing be lacking to this life, either the air to make it breathe, or the food to nourish it, or the heat, or the light to make her feel the life of heaven in her soul. Therefore, do not be concerned with anything else, but always forward in my divine will. If we stop eating, we will die. We continually eat. Every day we eat. I mean, you might fast sometimes, but we drink every day. We're drinking water to survive. We sleep. So it's continual. It never stops. If you stop any of those activities, you'll eventually die. So same with the acts in divine will. We have to continually feed those acts by doing continual acts. And our acts feed the acts of the past. It makes them stronger. And so it goes on and on and on. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing, that gift that God has given us, that he can do these acts in us only because we desire it and we want it. We want this gift. You got to want this gift. He wants you to take the gift. He wants to give it to you more than you want it. But you have to ask for it. You have to desire it. You have to do what's necessary to live it. And what is necessary to live it? Read the volumes. You know, you can listen to a lot of talks, but unless you read the volumes, you're not going to learn to live it. You know, we can talk to you and tell you what we think about different things, but you have to read it the way Jesus gave it to Louisa. It's so profound the way he gave it to Louisa. That's why I love reading, because it's I can't express it the way he expressed it to her. She was his secretary. God was teaching her. She was just, she had a first grade education. I think it was just first grade, a primary education. And these writings are profound. A person with that kind of education could not write this way. So, you know, it was really Jesus's writings. This is a beautiful testament. They call it the testament of sanctification. God loves that number three. We've got, you know, Trinity. We've got the creation, redemption, sanctification. Now we've got three testaments, the Old Testament, New Testament, and now this is a testament of sanctification, the greatest, because it's about his divinity. New Testament is about his humanity. Now we need to know about his humanity to understand his divinity. But this is so great to understand the interior of Jesus, his thoughts, his ways, his attributes, his temperament, to know his sufferings. When you read, you should read every day, even if it's just a few minutes, every day read the Passion book, to understand his interior sufferings when he was during his passion. It was much greater than his exterior sufferings because of his great love. No one could suffer as much as Jesus suffered because no one can love like he loved. And love makes us suffer. You know, the lover always suffers because love is that way. It's good. It's a gift, love. But you do suffer when you love, you know. And he suffers because he loves us and he's not receiving that love back from us. Love, when it's reciprocal, is a great pleasure. If a man loves a woman and she doesn't love him back, he feels that. He feels very wounded, very sad. So love always has to be given and received, given and received. And that's what the divine will is all about, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. Do you want to say something? No.
That's also going to be Mother, you know, living perfectly and completely in the divine will have no breaks at all. And then again, that's going to take a lot of mystical gifts and graces by God to get there, but we're going to get there. But Jesus does remind us not to get demoralized, that he says, this comes from volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Quote, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible and easy in all conditions, all circumstances, and in every place. End quote. But to your point, we must start somewhere and let them feed off each other. But he does tell us again, last thing I'm going to say before turning it over to you. Again, beautiful admonition. He does give us this gift on loan, usually for one single act, to sort of get our feet wet, also to give us those graces. And he says in volume 11, March 8th, 1914, one instant. Now, is one instant the same as one act? We'll have to ask Jesus. He says, quote, one instant of operating in my divine will is enough to surpass all the works of all the souls of the past, present, and future. Do we believe that? End quote.
Yeah, that's beautiful. One act done in the divine will is greater than all acts ever done outside of God's will, because it's an act of God. But all of our other acts are human acts. Human acts cannot measure up to a divine act. So that's why it's so great. But little children can live in the divine will. Jose Acuna from Mexico City had seven children. They all learned to live in the divine will as children. They memorized volume 7 and 8. And I talked to his son, who's a priest in near Rome, near the airport. And he told me they used to compete with each other. Who's going to memorize it the quickest, volume 7 and 8, when they were kids? And but they grew up learning to live in divine will. So you can teach children. You get the drop book. The drop book is a wonderful book. You can get it, I guess, on the website there. Peter, you have it there. I think we have it on ours. But you can read that to your children, have your children read it if they can, and they can learn to live in the divine will. But as you live this, you're going to see it. You're being transformed moment by moment, little by little, and you don't see it. You don't realize it right now, but as time goes and you look back and you see, and you know, I've changed, things are different. I don't feel the way I used to. Things don't bother me the same. I'm practicing more virtue. I'm living more of a virtuous life without realizing it happening, because God's doing all the work in you and you're being transformed more and more.
Yeah. And not to let what you just said, Mother, be escaped, because it was very important when you mentioned the drop book series. Again, this is a beautiful, simplistic view of the divine will. It got so expensive to physically mail worldwide that it's now available on Amazon, because most of the shipping there is free. So you can buy the drop book series on Amazon, or you can go to our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and you can download it for free. It also comes, I think, in 7 languages right now, including Tagalog. So if anyone wants the drop book series, it's on the website. Wow.
Hello. I just want to say about the what a life is, living in the divine will is, you know, I have the volumes, it's volume 12, but I don't have it in English. So I will try to translate as I read. So this is from volume 12, but I don't have the dates either.
We're impressed.
That means you are living, this means a life that you don't live alone, that you don't do anything by yourself. So Since you know that you cannot go on by yourself, you don't ask for order. You don't also receive any orders, and you do everything what Father does. If Father thinks, you take you take Father's thought as your own, and then you don't add any one of your thoughts. If Father sees, if Father speaks, if he works, walks, if he suffers, or if he loves, then you see what the Father sees. You repeat what Father speaks. You work with the Father's hands. You walk with the feet of Father. And you suffer the same suffer that the Father goes through, and you love with the Father's love. And then the Son is with the Father, not only exteriorly, but also interiorly. His interior becomes so woven with the interior of the Father. So the Son is in the Father, and he becomes so infused in God. So this is the life that you repeat the life of Jesus. So truly the living in the divine will, that means you are receiving the will of God. You possess it. And since the will contains everything, since it's the whole essence of God, you're possessing God, and you are living according to the will of God. And truly this is the life that Adam and Eve lived before the fall. And this is the life that Jesus and Mary lived. So we are asking, we want to get the receive the will of Jesus. We are living according to his will. So that means we are relieving his life in us. So we are allowing Jesus to live his life again in us on earth. And this is life that you conform your will to the will of God, and you are imitating the life that the humanity of Jesus lived in the will of God. And truly this is life that you return to God, the order, the happiness, back to the Holy Trinity. Truly this is the life that you respond to the call to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. And this is truly the life that that accomplishes in us the kingdom of the divine will. So let us live in the divine will.
Amen. Mother, a few moments left. Would you like to share any closing thoughts? Or Sister Pamela, it's fine. We have time. Yeah, I have time as long as you have time there.
Yeah, I just wanted to add about what Mother was saying of the how God makes everything on three, and how the divine will is the gospel of the sanctity. Actually, in volume 13, Jesus is telling Luisa that when he came to earth, all he did was spreading the gospel, which is the Father's will. But now in the divine will, it says that you must know that in coming upon earth, I came to manifest my celestial doctrine, to make known my humanity, my fatherland, and the order that the creature was to have in order to reach heaven in a word, the gospel. But of my will, I said almost nothing or very little. I almost passed over it, making them understand that the thing about which I care the most was the will of my Father. Of its qualities, of his height and greatness, of the great goods that the creature receives by living in my volition. I said almost nothing because the creature, being too much of an infant in the celestial things, would have understood nothing. I only taught her to pray, Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, so that she might dispose herself to know his will of mine in order to love it and do it, and therefore receive the gifts it contains. And it's what literally Mother was saying about the third gospel of sanctity, which is the fulfillment of their Father. And all divine will is just fulfilling that desire of Jesus. Now, how he came and was fulfilling the will of the Father, now the Holy Spirit is fulfilling the will of the Word, who was incarnate in Mary. Because the Holy Spirit brings us to the Word, and then the Word brings us to the Father, and is the Holy Trinity itself, like the triangle, is the connection between them. And now this is the I guess, I don't know, it's just my own words, the gospel of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one bringing the volition. I saw a comment here in the chat of someone who said about how the divine volition is about the Holy Spirit. And yeah, because it's bringing now the will of the word, which in few words is the same will of the Father, but it's not three persons different, you know. And yeah, I just wanted to add that.
That makes perfect sense. The three persons, but they do take turns taking the lead. So for example, baptism, the Holy Spirit is in essence taking the lead. That doesn't mean the Father and the Son are absent. Of course, they're concurring. They're there as well. But yeah, then the divine will, again, the Holy Spirit bringing us to sanctity, sanctifying us, cleaning us so that we're ready for that wedding feast. Mother?
Yeah, it was just a volume 29. It was saying, you know, that the soul in doing her acts and rounds in divine will, she starts a communication with God, with her creator. She opens a sort of correspondence. And then all of her acts are nothing other than little letters that she sends him. This disposes the creature to receive it and God to give it. So it's like you're sending little letters to God, love letters all day long as you do acts and rounds in divine will. And this disposes you to receive the gift of living in his divine will. The greatest gift that God could give any creature is to live in his divine will. What a fantastic time to be alive and to know that we can have it. It's all ours. Just have to want it. It's growing all over the world so fast. I mean, we're in communications with people in Australia and in Ireland. It's amazing what's happening up there in Ireland and in Australia right now. Great teachers teaching the divine will, encouraging people to read it. You know, so if you can hook on to some of those, as Geraldine Ryan, that's a great teacher, Francis Hogan, Greg Dunn, Daniel Shields, some great teachers. So, and I'm sure you can find their talks on internet, which will help you too, to understand things maybe a little better. But, you know, I encourage everybody to read every day and read the Passion Book every night if you can. Our Lord told Louisa, every word read in his divine will in the Passion Book saves a soul. That means you're asking him to read it in you. Every word saves a soul. And don't just read it, but ponder it. Let it soak into your heart and soul, realizing how much he suffered out of love for you, how much he loves you, and give that love back to him. He's wanting that love back from you. He loves you so much. So, amen.
Yes, amen. All motivation, you're right, Mother. But again, like you said earlier, no one is going to teach us, no one is going to speak our dialect of the language of heaven better than Jesus will. And of course, he'll do it to each of us, however we've been disposed. So that's what's so beautiful. But again, to take it all in, of course, digest it all. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Like to end also with a small two lines, if I may, from that same volume 11, March 8th, 1914. I looked for something upbeat. Again, I couldn't think of a better way to spend the last 90 minutes than what we did just now. But this is what our Lord said, again, March 8th, 1914, volume 11. Quote, "My daughter, do not be worried. Try only to be abandoned in my will, and I will accomplish everything for you. Because one single instant in my will is greater than all the good you could possibly do in your entire lifetime." End quote. It's all here. Thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mother, for your vocation.
God bless you all. Thank you.
What you've
Thank
done.
You, Peter, for what you're doing.
No, I don't do anything. But here, I'm going to do right now, I'm going to do something. I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves so they can say goodbye and hello to Mother and the sisters. Let's see if I can get this right. Okay, anyone who'd like to unmute themselves may do so now, and I'm going to change it to the gallery here.
Goodbye, Mother and sisters. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, sister.
Bye, Mom. Thank you, Mother.
Love you.
God bless you. Mother, sisters, and
God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Mother.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
God bless you.
Love you. Bye bye.
Pray for us in the divine will.